Well, I think part of the sourcing process to me is the most exciting, because you know, you rent a car and you drive through the south of France, and you know, you obviously have some appointments set up, but you know, some of the most exciting things happen when you're just kind of winging it. And you meet a farmer at, you know, a wine fair, and he says, well, come back to my estate, and you're not quite sure where you're going, and you follow a guy in a Peugeot, you know, up a rambling hill, and all of a sudden you come across either a castle or like a shack in the woods, and the guy's making wine out of the back of his, you know, house, or he could be making wine out of a major estate. You know, looks are deceiving, but you want to assume that someone with a very established chateau is making good wine. But 9 times out of 10, the guy out of the garage who's like super passionate is making these better wines, and they're maybe more rustic and less polished. So to me, like the restaurateur, the sommelier, this story resonates with them about the small farmer, you know, the guy who's making wine on small quantities, 80 cases, 100 cases. Those are the things exciting to Barterhouse, and hopefully the things exciting to our clients.
Hey everybody, you're tuned into the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The show is Flash Talks Cash, the show about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and this show is on every Thursday from 4:30 to 5 p.m. If you're listening live, well, just call us while we're on today, or email us. You can call us at
718-497-2128. 718-497-2128.
Or you can email at info@heritageradionetwork.com. That mysterious voice you just heard is my co-host and my son.
It shouldn't be mysterious at this point. I feel like
we should have some steady listeners. Andrew Newman. Today's show is talking about not-for-profits. It's not always about the money.
Talking to Sam.
We have a special guest, very special guest today, Sam Malden. Say hi, Sam.
Howdy.
Okay. Sam is it has an interesting company. It's called Bill Malden for Grunts.com.
Yes.
Or is it Bill Malden for Grunts?
Well, the company is called Bill Malden for Grunts, but the website is BillMalden.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he's going to tell us all about his company and tell us why he does it. Because the big question in the studio last week was, why would anybody work?
I'm still not getting it. Hopefully Sam can shed some light on the subject for me.
Andrew doesn't understand why you would do it and not make money. Because we're a show about money, you see. So he doesn't understand that concept. And Sam is going to explain what he does and why he does it.
I can't wait to hear it.
Okay.
All right.
So, Sam, first you're a very young man. I want everybody to know, how old are you?
23 years old.
23, and you're doing some good work.
Thank you.
You got it at a young age. Andrew's still waiting.
Wait, who's to say he got it? That's your opinion.
You'll find, at the end of the show, I think you'll figure it out. We'll see. Maybe that'll happen.
As we know, your opinion and my opinion are completely different.
Well, Sam, let's see if you can shed some light and help Andrew see the light.
All right.
So the name of your company, we said, was Bill Malden for Grunts. And tell us what that means, Bill Malden for Grunts. What's that about?
Well, what it means is my dad got famous and renowned for drawing cartoons that were basically for the grunts, where he portrayed them as they were dirty, unshaven, not exactly happy to be where they were. And he made fun of the officers and things of that sort. So he was definitely for the soldiers, the every person, which back then was known as grunts.
So the grunts are from the army or whatever.
Exactly.
When was that?
This was in World War II.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So they were called grunts. Got it. So he drew, what did he do? He drew pictures of them? What did he say?
He was a cartoonist.
Yeah. For the army?
Uh-huh. There's this soldier's paper called The Stars and Stripes.
Oh,
and
right.
He got started drawing that, and eventually he got picked up by some major syndication. And from after he got home, he wrote this book called Upfront that was pretty popular back in his day.
Was he an illustrator when he went into the army?
Mm-hmm.
He was.
Yeah, he always wanted to be a cartoonist, right. But he went to school in Chicago. Nothing really was happening, so he went back to New Mexico. And when the war started to heat up, he enlisted.
Okay, so he drew all these great cartoons of the grunts, and people liked them. Mm-hmm. And he continued his career, and he kept doing the grunt work.
Well, after he got out, he portrayed Willie and Joe in their struggles in the post-war world, doing, you know, a lot of cartoons about that. And then after a certain point, around the late 40s, he just kind of dropped them and just started doing political editorial cartooning.
Right. So these grunts cartoons were pretty much started as political cartoons, kind of. They had some political thing about it.
Well, I'd say it was more just kind of expressing how the troops felt, and, you know, venting about things that were annoying to them, to say the least.
So the soldiers enjoyed the cartoons.
Absolutely, they loved them.
They loved them. So then your father went on to work, and he kind of put this on the side. And then what happened?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say he put them on the side. He got called into a certain assignments, like he got called in to cover the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and up to the Gulf War, actually.
So he drew cartoons of illustrations for all of these soldiers.
Exactly. So he'd only bring Willie and Joe back if he was back on the front line, so to speak, and, you know, hanging out with newer soldiers.
Ah, so he's a progressive. He constantly...
Evolving into new soldiers. Same soldiers, different uniforms then, I guess?
Yeah, he would change their uniforms a bit. Some of the last stuff he did was about, he drew in Saudi Arabia and watched some of the soldiers' training exercises. And so, yeah, he had some Willie and Joe cartoons in more modern military uniforms.
So he was very brave. He went on the front lines to these wars.
All right.
Amazing.
There's one story, actually. When he covered the Vietnam conflict, he was staying in this air base, and that night the base came under fire. Okay. And it was an active war zone, and he actually helped save some soldiers that were wounded.
Oh, that's impressive.
Very.
Very nice.
Just to draw some illustrations or cartoons.
It's for the people.
No, I know. Yeah. I understand. But, you know, it's like it's not life or death here. And the guy is putting his life on the line. It's pretty impressive. Very impressive.
So apparently this good characteristic or trait was passed on to you now, I see, huh?
Well, I mean, I don't think what I'm doing compared to what he did and had to go through, I don't think I have it that bad at all.
Well, now...
But what are you doing?
What are you doing? So you got Bill Grunts, Bill Mullen for Grunts. So what is that?
So basically what happens is people will go on the website or just, you know, that I meet on the street. They look at the t-shirts. They buy them, you know, via check, PayPal, what have you. Then I get the orders, package them up, go to a local post office and send them out.
And then the money is then donated to a charity or?
Yeah, pretty much. So the basic structure that I have going now is that I call the war chest. You know, I wait till I have about $500.
That's appropriate, right?
And then, so then once I get that amount of money, depending on what cycle I'm at, I either buy more inventory or donate that money to the charity, which is the Soldiers Project.
And what is the Soldiers Project?
It's this organization that's a network of psychologists. And basically what they're about is that they give free therapy to active duty service people, veterans, and their families.
Well, don't they get therapy already from the Army or the Marines?
It's not very good therapy.
Oh, so they need better therapy.
Well, I mean, you know, saying it's not very good therapy is actually putting it pretty nicely for them. Basically, what a lot of times they do is they make it very difficult to get diagnosed with PTSD.
Right. Well, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Okay.
Exactly. Well, it used to be called shell shock back in the day, but they've kind of made the term a little nicer and more palatable.
Uh-huh. Right.
But either way, so the troops have a lot of trouble getting actual therapy. Most of the time, the VA doctors just give them drugs.
Yeah.
And just give them, you know, pills and whatnot. And I think that just kind of buries the problem.
Mm.
And so I just, from what I've read about this group, the Soldiers Project, and I've actually met with the woman who runs it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just dedicated to giving therapy to anyone who served in our forces and their families as well, which is something that the VA doesn't do.
So that's how it happened. So you found out about the Soldiers Project and you thought of a way to donate money to this organization. That's how this Grunts organization happened for you.
Well, actually, it got started. I read this article back in November, I believe it was, the New York Times, and it was about this guy named Sergeant Baylock who served in Iraq. And after he got out of his service, one of his convoys in front of him got bombed out, very traumatized after the ordeal, but the VA didn't really give him any help whatsoever, and eventually led him to take his own life.
Oh.
And so I read this article back in November, and, you know, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, where I come from and what my dad did.
Right.
And just the fact that our government was failing our soldiers who had, you know, risked their lives for us just made me so sad, and I didn't know what to do. So then I just decided, I figured, well, I mean, I can use Willie and Joe somehow, and I figured the best way to do it was to put them on t-shirts so everyone had to look at the war-weary soldiers to remind them of what our troops are going through right now.
Got it.
So the article led to the t-shirts, or were you thinking of the t-shirts prior to the, you know, because it is a great, it's a great animation, as you see, as we can see on his shirt right now, but was the t-shirt concept in your head prior to this, or was it like one great epiphany at that point?
Well, I think it was more that I had wanted to do something with his work, but I didn't really know what or to what cause. I just knew that, you know, he was such a, he's such a great artist that I wanted to continue his work so people would remember it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how, and reading this article, you know, kind of shocked me into action, I guess you could say.
That's cool.
And I was, and actually for a couple months I couldn't figure out what organization to donate to, because I certainly didn't want to give to the VA, seeing as how they kind of, you know, sparked this whole thing. So eventually my mom actually was listening to NPR, and they had this story about this this soldier's son who was five, whose dad died, and the kid thought he was in the army.
Really?
And this five-year-old kid was going through these crazy psychological problems, and the mother tried to go to the VA for help, but they were just refused.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so this group, the Soldiers Project, stepped in, and my mom heard the story and told me about them. I read up about the organization, mm-hmm. and then pieces came together.
That's great.
That's good. So now you collect the money. Do you have any problem with customers giving you money? You're not a charitable organization yourself, are you? A 501c3?
No, I looked at the 501c3 forms when I started this, and they cost a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. I do that for a living, so I know about that. So the people just buy your t-shirts, and you just tell them, I'm going to donate the proceeds to a good organization called the Soldiers Project. That's kind of how it works?
Yeah, exactly.
And people don't have any problem sending you... How much are your shirts?
It depends. The one I'm wearing right now is 15, and the older ones are 10.
Got it. So they're not very expensive shirts. They're average cost. So
it's actually pretty cheap for a t-shirt.
Yeah. And so
are they all made here in the USA?
The t-shirts themselves? Well, in all fairness,
how about in Iraq? Are they made in Iraq or Afghanistan?
They are not, unfortunately.
All right. Well,
they're actually made in Haiti, and I mean,
that's good.
Well, that's good, because you're helping the poor down there too,
there you
aren't
go.
You?
They're still rebuilding, right?
We hope that it's going to those people and not just the owners of the companies.
Exactly. And now the t-shirts are made there. However, the guy who screen prints them runs a record label right here in the USA.
Oh, that's good.
So Sam, now explain to us why you took your father's illustrations and decided to make it a non-for-profit organization, as opposed to just saying, I can make money off my father's
illustrations.
Didn't
he just explain this to us? I thought he just told the story.
But he said that he gives the money to the organization. Why wouldn't you just say, I can make money off my father?
It was his epiphany.
Well, that's true.
But, you know, Andrew doesn't understand this, so we have to, like, really spell it out for him.
Oh, so you want his philosophy behind this, not the actual event that caused the occurrence.
Right. I want to know, why is it that you chose... I know you want to do the good work for... So is there... Why don't you donate some money, but then pay yourself a nice salary for all the hard work you do?
Well, I'll tell you, I get very tempted to do that when I'm in line at the post office, because that's no fun. But I mean, it's for many reasons. The first one, of course, is that what a lot of soldiers have actually told us is that World War II veterans specifically, that my dad's cartoons were like therapy for them.
I get it.
So I'm kind of continuing the tradition. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just don't really feel right making money off of his name.
Oh.
And I feel that if I'm going to make money off the Malda name, it's going to be off my own work.
Okay. That's very noble.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, because I grew up with, you know, a Pulitzer Prize winning dad or what have you, I feel I got like a little more special than everyone else. So I figure this is my way of like giving back.
That sounds like a nice thing.
Who are your customers? What kind of people buy those t-shirts?
A lot of different people. I'd say it's between the ages. There's a lot of people who are, you know, 60 and above who either were in the war, who remember it very well.
Right.
And a lot of young people, actually.
Do some people recognize your father's name?
Some people do. Actually, I was at a cafe down off of Bedford the other day, and some guy saw my shirt. He's like, hey. It's a William Joe guy, blah, blah, blah. And so I told him about what I do.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't really believe me when I tell them that he's my dad, but...
Yeah.
You are quite young, especially if you said your dad was in World War II, so...
Yes.
We do math real good. We figured that out.
English not so good,
well,
though, I guess, huh?
Math is a better subject than English.
Yeah, we noticed that.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So do soldiers ever buy your shirts?
A lot of mothers of soldiers will buy them for that. And actually, one of my good friends named Nick, who's in the Special Forces, bought a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah.
And they give them out over there, and a lot of active duty guys wearing them over there at all? Or?
Well, actually, when this started off, I was, because the guy who prints the shirts was an Iraq War veteran.
Yeah. Okay.
And when this started off, he told me that as long as the shirts were all of drab green, soldiers could wear them under their uniforms.
Oh, good.
But I've slowly learned that is not the case, yeah. And that recently the Pentagon changed that policy, so... So that is unfortunate.
So what can they wear underneath their uniforms if it's...
It's just Army stuff.
Oh, you have issue. To only Army wear Army issued stuff? Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. It's just...
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. In the meantime, if you have any questions for Sam or Andrew or Flash, call us. We'll be here for the next 15 minutes.
Then questions for Andrew?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, look at him. The sun don't come out in rainy weather. But when you boil it down, they are still together. Now let's not overlook the fact that we're still in reach. You got a chance to make it, and you got a freedom of speech. But if the enemy come, we'll get together and run them out of sight. Now look here. The sun don't come out in rainy weather, but when you boil it down, they are still together. Now let's not overlook the fact that we're still in reach. You got a chance to make it, and you got a freedom of speech.
Okay, we're back. We're going to come back to Sam. Sam's got some more information to tell us, and we have more questions for him. But first, I want to tell you guys, in 2 weeks, we have a very special guest coming on. Her name is Cordell James. She's from the FBI, and she's going to be talking about mortgage fraudsters and putting them in jail.
So what's with you and changing names to fraudsters?
That's a real name.
That's a real word. Can we is this like a braggadocious situation over here?
No, fraudster is a real word, and she's going to come in and tell you all her stories about how she arrests and puts these bad boys away.
Fraudster is a real word.
Damn it.
Thanks, Jack.
Up for two?
I think Andrew needs to go home and read the dictionary.
As we said,
weekend.
English is not our strength.
All right. Have a couple of emails. First, we have an email question on the web. So what is that question, Jack?
Got a question here from Josh from last week's show. He says, do I have to pay quarterly as a freelancer? Can I just do it in one big shot? Will I be penalized?
Oh, okay. Well, Josh, the answer to that is you probably need to pay quarterly. If you owe over $1,000 to the IRS, you're required to pay quarterly taxes. If you pay it at one shot on April 15th, you're going to get a penalty for underpayment of estimated taxes. So I would suggest you contact your accountant or call Andrew. He might be able to tell you that.
Me?
Well, I don't know.
I'm not even a CPA.
So call your accountant and have them calculate and pay some quarterly taxes. Even if you miss the first quarter or the second quarter or the third quarter, pay at least one quarter. One quarter is better than zero quarters. So that's that.
Okay.
We have another email question.
I have a question here for you, Flesh.
Who's it from?
Eric. I don't know where Eric is.
Eric's in Brooklyn.
All right. So my mom is still trying to help me out with some of a down payment on a place. The question is, at what point should money transfer between accounts as a gift/loan, or is there anything to be said about opening up a joint account for the purpose of buying a home/building? This way, after the deal goes through, I can make deposits and eventually pay her back.
So the gift is not really a gift. The gift is a loan.
Is there a difference?
Oh, sure, there's a difference. By the way, whatever I say today is based upon information that used to be with the mortgages, because they changed the mortgage procedures on an hourly basis. So what I say today could probably be changed in 10 minutes. But anyway, for Eric and his mother, yeah, setting up a joint account is a great idea. If it's in place for a few months until he finds the right place or goes through the process of getting a mortgage, it looks even more stable than just getting a chunk of money into an account one day when you're in the middle of the mortgage process. So I think it's a great idea. You can call it a gift. Don't call it a loan. They won't give you money. They won't give you a loan on top of a loan. So you got to call it a gift. And then afterwards, if you have to pay it back, well, that's a separate deal that you and your mother will have to do. So that was a good idea. I wish him good luck. He's been looking for a house for a long time.
All right, good luck with you, Eric.
Yeah. So we're going to come back to Sam. Sam Malden is the owner. You're the owner, right, Sam?
Yes, ma'am.
You're the owner of Bill Malden for Grunts. He's telling us about his father, who was an illustrator for the Army. It was the Army, right?
Yeah.
There's a difference between the Army, Marines, Navy. He was the Army guy, right?
Yeah, in the 45th Infantry Division.
So those grunts were the Army soldiers.
Absolutely.
Not the Navy seamen. Well, all right, I'm trying to get it. I don't get
Sam
it.
Sam apparently has more information. Hold on.
Well, he did speak for everyone. He did some cartoons about Air Force guys. He basically only did stuff that he knew about and experienced firsthand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he didn't do something for everybody, because my question is, what about the women in the armed forces? What did he do for them?
Women in the armed forces?
Yeah. Did he draw anything? Did anything do anything for the women?
He did. I mean, he did a lot of stuff for women's rights and things like that as he became an editorial cartoonist later on in life. I'd say he was pretty much right on most controversial issues of the day.
Got it.
He sort of preceded the females in the Army when he first started with Willie and, what was it, Lenny and Willie?
Willie and Joe.
Willie and Joe, so...
Right. Right.
You know.
Well, I was just saying, you know, the women are a big part of the armed forces nowadays.
Oh, and absolutely.
So now you have to incorporate both genders.
Of course,
and
I
that's
know.
All I was just, you know, me being a woman.
Should we have changed Joe to Jane?
An ultra feminist.
I've actually said that in the past. I've said for Willie, Joes, and Janes of our armed forces.
So that's a 21st century version of the Bill Malden for Grunts. We have a little bit of information from Nat. Nat knows a little bit about your father's organization. And what is it that you're telling us, Nat?
Well, this morning, actually, Admiral Mike Mullen, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, basically told reporters that because of an increasing amount of returning soldiers, there's going to be, he said, quote, the emergency issue right now is suicides, unquote. And he says he thinks he's going to see a growth before we see a decline.
It's very sad, isn't it?
So this goes back to that PTSD situation that we're talking about and the lack of service provided to these men and women coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
It's terrible.
Very sad. I guess this is the worst we've seen, worse than the veterans from Vietnam, the worst than the veterans from the Gulf War. Is that true? Do we know that?
I don't know, Sam.
I believe from what I've been reading that Army suicides, since they've been recorded recently, are the highest, as far as I know, that they've ever been.
Now, at this war.
So, yeah. How big is the organization you provide your funding for? How many soldiers do they get to see then?
That I'm not too sure about that, like the specific numbers.
Uh-huh.
I just know that they have psychiatrists all over the country that work for them.
Okay, and is this a free service they provide through the VA, or is it outside of the VA? These soldiers have to seek these people out, or
it's outside of the VA. You just have to get in contact with them and prove that you served in the Army, and then they'll help you out.
Okay.
So Sam, besides buying T-shirts, is there anything else that someone can do it through you or alongside you to donate? And what I mean is a like-kind exchange, such as, how about somebody says, I got ink that you can use for the silk screening, or I can get T-shirts. I'll donate, you know, 100 or 1,000 T-shirts. Would you be open to that kind of a collaboration with somebody?
Absolutely. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah. So it's not just cash. You'll listen and you'll do all sorts of partnerships.
How can someone contact you then is a question. It's just BillMaldenForGrunts.com and then they find you there, or?
Well, the website is BillMalden.com and that's where you can go on the store section and look at the shirts. But the best way to get in contact with me about this is just to email me.
Mm-hmm.
My email address is Samuel Malden, MALDIN at gmail.com.
Oh, okay.
Good. Now, I just had a question. What was my question? Oh, I want to know, how do you market or advertise your business? I know you're on the radio today. This is a way to get the word out. What are other ways that you do that?
I mean, it's pretty much word of mouth.
Yeah?
I've never put out an advertisement or anything of that sort.
Do you send emails out, or you like believe in constant contact, that service where they send emails out to lists or something like that?
Actually, I haven't heard of that. I'm going to have to get more information about that after the show. But basically, I keep track of all the people who have emailed me, and I've built up a mailing
database,
list.
Database, yes.
And so, I just do a mass email every time I have a new shirt out.
So, Sam, since you're not a non-for-profit, you have to then, at the end of the year, file tax returns for the money you took in and the expenses, and then you donate the difference to this organization. So that's not what a non-for-profit organization, that's on how they report their income and their expenses. So how do you handle that? You take a personal donation for the money you send over? How do you, are you doing that? Are you filing taxes for this company?
Well, to be honest with you, this company isn't even a year old yet. Oh. So I'm not at that point. It's a relatively new organization. I'm just kind of getting a feel for this whole thing.
Got it. Well, you know, I strongly recommend as an accountant that you look into the tax-exempt organization. I know it's a little pricey,
mm-hmm.
but it's a great way for you, A, to get donations and get grants, because people will be more likely to buy your T-shirts if they think there's a real charitable piece to the purchase price.
Okay.
You may want to also raise the purchase price, so you could say $5 of every shirt is going towards, you know, whatever.
That's how it is right now. The way it ends up being is that, you know, if you buy the $10 shirt, $5 goes to them. If you buy the $15 shirt, $8 goes to them.
That's good. That's great. So then you have to send them receipts, but they don't get to deduct that donation unless you're a 501c3, a charitable organization. So
okay.
And then also there's agencies out there, there are organizations that will give grants and donations to other companies that are legitimate charitable organizations. So that might be a great place for you to look into, so you can grow this company and keep this. It's a great idea.
Thank you.
It's a great way to keep your father's illustrations going, right?
Absolutely.
Are his illustrations saved somewhere in the Smithsonian or in the museums or anywhere else?
Yeah, he donated the vast majority of his originals to the Smithsonian. A lot of museums have them. And yeah, I mean, you can find his cartoons there. They still sell books of his stuff, so you can get them there as well. And we're building up the images section of the website right now, so you can view them on there as well.
So your mother has a lot of his work still in her hands, right?
Well, My mom doesn't personally. A lot of it is my brother Nat pretty mm-hmm. much runs most of that business area. So a lot of it's with us, you know.
How long ago did your father pass away?
In 2003.
So since he's passed, before that, was he actually doing any of this, or he was just still pumping out the illustrations?
Well, he was actively cartooning till about 1992,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
And then Rupert Murdoch bought out the newspaper that he worked for. And
right.
So he was kind of retired, quote unquote. But yeah. They basically just, you know, told him to get lost. So then after that happened, he did some freelance stuff. But he was a mechanic, and he was working on an engine. And the engine crushed his drawing hand. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah, and I mean, he did a book called Animals That Have Owned Me that's never been published. So we're looking into that right now.
Cool. So your brother is has a good handle on his collection.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much has been lost.
No, definitely.
It's pretty much intact.
And actually, interestingly, we just got in contact with some of his neighbors in Arizona, and they sent us a bunch of boxes of his stuff that was just around, and including in that was about 50 to 70 original cartoons that have.
It's interesting how this stuff turns up. Isn't that like the other day, the famous singer when the Pittsburgh Pirates? What was that article about? Ray, what was that guy?
We have Ray Scrope. We have Ray in the...
Bing Crosby had a collection of Pittsburgh... Pittsburgh Pirates. And Bing Crosby's dead, what, 40
what
years
is, or wait, what is this?
So anyway, the point is...
He has King Scopes?
I don't know what kinscopes are. But the point is, let's talk to Sam. Sam's neighbor uncovered, or his parents' neighbor, sent him recently, you didn't even know it existed, right? A box of stuff.
Yeah, it was a bunch of wild artifacts. But the coolest thing we found, and there's a bunch of original cartoons.
Yeah. So, you know, this happens. This could go on for the next 50 years. People will uncover things. I'm not kidding. It happens.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's a good surprise.
Anything could happen.
It's a good surprise. So I want to thank Sam for coming today.
Thank you very much, Sam.
And so now at the end of the show, I want you to ask Andrew, does he get it why you do this?
Are you asking me, or is Sam?
I want Sam to ask because, you know, Sam, he doesn't really talk nice to me. So if you ask him, maybe he'll talk nice back to you.
Well, I mean, one of the questions, you know, is, you know, it's not all about the money, and that was, right, I guess, the subject, but, you know, I'm not a fool. It is all about the money, and the Soldiers Project needs all the money they can get to provide this wonderful service. That's why I'm doing this for them.
And I totally get that.
You do?
I do.
I want to see what you're going to come up with in a month.
If you were famous and did something creative like that, and I could, you know, do it.
Why
do
you have to use me? Find your own.
I'm just referencing Sam. So if you did some creative accounting, maybe, you know, cool stuff, I could use that on
maybe if you wrote some books. He turns it around. It's always about me, what he could get
this
out of me.
This is your show.
All right. Well,
this
Sam.
This is Flash Talk Cast, not Andrew Talks Cast.
Sam, I want to thank you again for coming. It was very, very interesting. And,
you know,
maybe Andrew next month will come up with a really great idea of a non-for-profit that he's going to give back to the community.
What non-for-profit have you come up with?
Listen,
why
is
the pressure always on the children to exceed the parents?
By the way, I told you last time that I was a big sister in the Big Brother, Big Sister program. And I coincidentally heard from my former big sister this week, and she's come back and she wants me to continue mentoring her. So, you know, you just do the good work. You never know what's going to happen. All you got to know is what goes around comes around. You're a good human being. You get good stuff back to you.
Absolutely.
I want to close down this week. I just want to remind you, in 2 weeks, the FBI mortgage fraud lady is coming. It's going to be very interesting. Thank you and goodbye.